Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I am excited. I have a great guest. His name is Michael Greenberg, and today we're going to be talking about generating authority through authority marketing. So, Michael, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm good, man. And so your company is Call for Content. And so you really help people kind of get their message out in a handful of different ways. And we'll kind of dive into that. But before we move forward, I want people to get to know you. So how did you go? Let's talk about your origin story. How did you go from somebody who is importing and selling Chinese goods out of your trunk to helping people get junk in their trunk, meaning authority online through Google and all that kind of stuff? How'd you go through that transition?
Yeah, so I come from a family of entrepreneurs, and you know, growing up as a real little kid, I was shoveling driveways and selling lemonade. And when I got to high school, I wanted to make more money than the drug dealers. So counterfeit goods was the best way to do it.
That's ambitious. I like it, though.
It worked out. Beats by Dre, you could buy them for, you know, $30 a pair and sell them for $100. That's a good margin. And I learned from that. I learned a lot about the basics of running a business, running a budget. And I decided I wanted to be a chef. Got an apprenticeship, started doing that thing, and then time came to choose college, and I found out that chefs don't make any money. So got myself an economics degree. While I was in school, I dropped out, went to a coding boot camp, joined a startup. At that point, found like my real love with digital technology and digital entrepreneurship. And from there, left the startup, started consulting, and then built Call for Content. That's where I am today.
Cool. So yeah, it sounds like a very typical entrepreneurial journey. And so let's kind of dig in on, you know, authority marketing. I mean, there was a thing a handful of years ago called Google authority, where you were a authority on something. I hear, you know, influencer marketing. I hear authority marketing. What's the difference? What is the general core of what authority marketing is?
So the core of authority marketing is, quite simply put, and I hate to use the word authority to describe it, but I hope for those of you listeners out there, you get that when I say authority, I mean a combination of respect and recognition in your field for success. And the core of authority marketing is proving and positioning yourself as that authority while simultaneously reaching out and developing relationships with the highest value network of clients that you can reach.
Okay, so sometimes, you know, and I've heard it said before, okay, authority marketing is if you can go to somebody and you can get, you know, heard on Fox News, on CBS, on NBC, on MSNBC, you know, you basically submit articles to blog posts to those particular you know, media outlets, and all of a sudden you're an authority because you can use their logo on your website. It's not that, right?
No, that's not our game at all.
Right.
And the two things that I like to talk about with authority, the two key points to remember, is that when I'm talking about authority and when you're really looking at authority and positioning, because positioning is the part of marketing that marketers tend to ignore, in my experience, and it's the part that a lot of people skip over because of that. But when we look at authority, we know two things. One, that authority is relative, and two, that it's going to come from specialization. And so to walk through those, authority is relative. a veteran barista might know the name of Starbucks CEO and consider him an authority in coffee, but he probably hasn't heard of Neil Patel. And so when you look at authority, you have to know who that high value audience is, who you're trying to position yourself as an authority to, so that you reach them. Because if you're a marketer for, say, accountants, accountants are the people who need to know you're a great marketer for an accountant. Lawyers don't need to know that. And so relatively is a big part. And along with that, as I'm talking through the examples, you can hear the specialization come up.
Okay, totally makes sense. So really what you're doing is you're helping people to better communicate to their perfect avatar. So is part of what you do help them decipher that, or are your best clients the ones that already figured it out and just need to get a voice on it?
So our best clients are definitely the ones who already have it figured out, but most of our clients do not. And our first engagement with a client is normally some sort of customer research, either to verify that they are on track or to get them on track and make sure that what their customers want and what we're trying to do line up.
Gotcha. So if they, you know, for example, I mean, one of the things is people, you know, people tend to change. I mean, I've been in business for 18 years doing this particular rendition, even more, you know, and my customer base and focus has changed. I mean, you know, when I started, websites, podcasts, all that stuff wasn't even a thing, you know. So, you know, and now I've got books, I've got podcasts, I've got ebooks, I got blogs. I mean, I got a whole bunch of different stuff, and my audience has kind of shifted based on, you know, that technology and things of that nature. So, okay, so that's number one, is basically defining. So in other words, what you help people do is create a sense of authority. And authority is kind of like expertise. I hate the word guru, but, you know, a well-respected person who seems to have some knowledge in a specific industry is really, you're trying to position that person in a way that looks attractive to their potential audience, right?
Exactly. A lot of times people come to us with thought leader as their term of choice. Mm-hmm. I want to be a thought leader in my industry. Great. That means nothing until we define your industry and we define what you're a thought leader for. And so that's what we're about.
Gotcha. Okay. So yeah, you really need to define, because I mean, again, you know, it's like you can say, I'm a marketing thought leader. Oh, gee, that's narrow. social media, print, you know, whatever you want. So it's always best to have, you know, A, the niche, and B, the specialty. And the more detailed it is, obviously, you know, the smaller the audience, but obviously the higher you can make them sound in retrospect to everybody else, I'm assuming.
Exactly. And if we work with primarily B2B clients.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that the value of a new customer for them is high enough, and they need a small enough number of new customers generally that we're able to really keep that focusing tight. Mm-hmm. And we're able to get laser focused on, okay, here are the 10,000, here are the 5,000 potential customers in the market that we're trying to reach.
Right.
And we can then create content that is exactly for them.
Gotcha. Okay, so now we get down to the nuts and bolts. Now we've decided who we're going to talk to. Now we got to talk to them. So you kind of have two different directions on this, which I love. Is one is, okay, if you want to speak to people and create content, you can do it through a podcast. And that's one of the things that you do, is you actually can help people formulate their own podcast, get it out there, create content based around that, and use that as a way to talk directly to their clients. The second one is, if they don't want to do their own podcast, you can actually help them become guests on other people's podcasts. So that way, at least they can have a voice either way towards their direct audience. Is that kind of right?
Yeah, that's spot on.
Cool. All right. So then let's go down the creating a podcast. I mean, people don't want to go through the whole motion of, you know, getting the gear, learn to do the editing, all that kind of fun stuff, promoting it and all the other things. So talk about, if somebody wanted to do that, what's involved for them, and then what do you guys provide so that it's, you know, basically I'm sure it's turnkey, but, you know, so I come to you, I don't want to get into the weeds. I just say I want to be able to talk to, you know, left-handed accountants who specialize in horse training. I'm sure you could figure out a way to make that happen for me.
Yeah. And that's normally something that we love to do, especially if you're coming and you actually say, I want to talk with someone as specific as a left-handed accountant who enjoys horse training, that's a show we want to produce.
Gotcha.
Podcast production is not one of our core focuses as a company, but we specialize really in more custom production work.
Mm-hmm.
And we white label our production services to other agencies as well.
Okay, so white label, just so everybody knows, is that the bottom line is if I, Brian Basilico, want to produce podcasts for accountants, I can go to a bunch of accountants and say, hey, I can get podcasts produced for you, and basically I hire your company to do the production and I sell it to them. That's what white labeling is, for those who don't know.
Okay. Your name, your company, our services.
Right, okay. So what if I'm the guy who wants to have the podcast done? What does that entail? What's involved? What do I get?
So we'll have anywhere between 1 and 3 show planning sessions to walk through, okay, you've sent us these details. Here's the format we recommend. Here's the plan we have for the show. This is the script we have for the intro and the outro. And then this is the style of social post we're going to create as a teaser. And that those teasers for us now are almost always videos of some sort. At that point, if we get the okay, then we're going to set up the initial interviews and we're going to plan for the show to launch with anywhere between 4 and 10 episodes. And so that'll be launching from day one with that block of existing episodes. And after that, our plan would be to release an episode every week. As each episode is released, it'll have show notes or a blog post created that is associated with it. And those will, if they're show notes, they come out at the same time as the episode. If we call them a blog post, then we're likely going to release them anywhere from 2 days to a week later, so we get that second bump to talk about the show. The whole process for you as the guy is you've got your schedule, you've sent us a Calendly link so that we can book your recordings for you. If you're one of our full service clients, will have sent you a microphone, and then your only job is to show up and record week in and week out.
Gotcha. So is this kind of show, is this just a monocast where I'm sitting here talking about my expertise and it's like, hey, I'm Brian and I'm cool and I know all this stuff, or is it where they're interviewing people?
It's almost always an interview show.
Gotcha.
We found interviews to be easier to produce consistently and just more fun for people to listen to. One of the biggest benefits of podcasts to their audiences is that they provide conversation, and monologues aren't conversation.
Very true. So how do I, as the guy, find the guests to interview?
We handle that.
Oh, okay.
And that's actually a service we offer. Guest recruiting is a service we even offer to people who aren't our clients.
Gotcha. So you do podcast matchmaking, so to speak.
Exactly.
All right. So now I've got this podcast show. I've got all this content. It's out there, and it basically is creating the authority, and that's one way of doing it. What if I don't want to go down the podcast train, and I just want to be the guy getting interviewed? That would be the last piece of it. So what does that look like for the end user?
So for the end user, what that looks like is, first, we find out who you're trying to reach. Second, we're going to see if you have any existing media presence, any existing, you know, appearances, that sort of thing. And then third, we're going to put together a strategy to reach out to shows that fit your profile and that are about the right size for where you are in your media buildup. So you might not start on a bacon podcast. You might start, you know, on some Joe Schmo's marketing talk. And Joe might only have 100 listeners per episode. But that's a great way for us to make sure that you understand what podcasting is like, what appearing on a podcast is like, and we're able to help coach you. And so once you've got a few of those smaller ones under your belt, then we start reaching out to the big guys. And our goal is for our clients to generate leads from those placements. So with every placement, we're generally going to have some sort of specific download that they can call out or some website that they can call out for people to go to. And we're going to use that to either collect leads directly or to help run a retargeted ad campaign afterwards to those leads.
So the bottom line is what you're doing is you're getting people in front of other people through podcasts, and then you're capturing any buddy from that who decides to follow them or take advantage of a free download or something like that. And you're generating leads that you pass along to that client. So basically it's a, you know, get interviewed and get leads kind of deal.
Exactly.
Okay. So the last question I've got for you is what I consider to be proof of concept, because this sounds really great, you know, yada, 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 you know, get a podcast, get on a podcast, all this other stuff. But okay, here's the question. Does it work and why? And give me an example of somebody who's used it and has had some, you know, realistic success, not over the top, you know, kind of stuff.
Yeah. So everything we do, we eat our own dog food.
Mm-hmm.
I built the agency on authority marketing. That's the exact strategy I used, and that's the one that we started selling to customers afterwards. Similarly, we did podcast production for ourselves. We started doing it for white label partners, and then we rolled those services out to the wider audience. So everything we do really has been tested and optimized internally before it gets rolled out. In terms of real great examples of authority marketing, are the big one we like to point back to is a case study that we've recently put out. And unfortunately, I cannot share the direct name of the client because they're an executive coach. And in a major city, those markets are surprisingly competitive. To the point where most of them aren't going to show their client base, or at least their active client base. But for them, we ran a 6-month campaign, and during that time, we captured a little over 500 emails. So it was a combination of ads, appearances, and a podcast. We captured a little over 500 emails, of which 54 were marketing qualified leads, and 11 turned into new clients.
Wow, those are good numbers. Those are real good numbers. And again, when you get a big client like that, when you're dealing with, you know, somebody that's dealing with big ticket, large engagement, I mean, that's serious.
Yeah, so I think it was 9 of those clients made up about half of the revenue generated, and then the other 2 were the remainder.
Gotcha, wow. That's amazing. So the bottom line is that if somebody wants to, you know, utilize their voice to get in front of a good audience, this is a great tool to help them kind of up their game and do it in a way that's going to, A, give them some notoriety, B, get them some name recognition, and C, what I always like to say is build an arsenal of content that they can use over and over and over again.
Yes. And there's no faster way to do that than with audio.
Yep, I agree. And that's hence why you're on my podcast.
So I started tracking my conversion rate from leads who came through podcast appearances where mm-hmm. I was on another show. And it turned out that within two touch points, I had an 85% close rate. That was just mind-blowing to me because I had never seen anything like it. I don't get that many leads through the channel, but when somebody decides to pick up the phone or send you an email after listening to you talk for 30 minutes, that's a pretty warm lead.
Yeah, I have to concur. And the reason, the one thing that I think that people have to realize too is it doesn't happen after one podcast. It's usually after they've heard you 3, 5, 10 times. And sometimes it could take 3 months, 6 months, a year before they actually pick up the phone. But when they do, you have a much higher place of authority because they've been listening to you for a while. They've been watching what you're doing. So I could see why, when you actually get that phone call, why it's so high.
Yeah, but you're right. It is a really long tail.
Right.
None of the stuff we do is that fast unless we use ads. But we know it works.
Yeah, and even, I mean, ads generate... I'm of the mindset, I mean, there's ads do good things, but it usually, if you, depending on how they're done, they're more tire kickers than people that want to buy Mercedes a lot of times, you know. So again, it's I just want to stress that to people in the reality of things is it works, but it takes time. And I say that to all my, you know, my clients, even in the boot camp I did today, I said, you know, here's the bottom line. You want to make sales? Eh, it's pretty simple. All you got to do is, you know, basically create content, have a plan, and have patience, and it'll work.
Number three is the hardest part.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it takes time, you know, and you have to be willing to invest the time and the consistency to get it done. And I mean, this is a good way to do it. You know, it's another way of getting your voice out there. And I think it's you know, it's a very valid case. It's not a service I want to provide, hence why I got you on here, because I think it's a valid thing, especially if somebody's a, you know, an executive coach, a business coach, or, you know, even somebody who's selling, you know, sales consulting or anything along those lines. You know, it's very different. And again, it's a long-term game. That's the one difference is sales consultants usually say, okay, well, where can I get leads? And I'll call 1,000 people and I'll close one. Because that's what they do. You know, this is a little bit different. But if you have the patience for it, it can be incredibly effective. So, yeah, I'm with you 110% there, brother. So, all right. So let's let them know, if they want to learn more about your services, which is Call for Content, how do they find out about that?
So you can find us and connect with me at callforcontent.com, callforcontent.com. And right there, you'll find the Authority Marketing Playbook, which lays out the foundational strategies for authority marketing. You'll find the B2B podcast playbook, which lays out our recommended strategies for B2B podcasting. And you'll find our ebook playbook, which is about writing ebooks. And it's really, if you start with a podcast, if you go in that order, authority marketing, podcasts, and then ebook, and you just sort of layer one on top of the other, you'll have the service that people pay us $4,000 or $5,000 a month for.
Right. Exactly. And
I offer office hours if you ever want to go through any of this. It's on our website, the little chat widget in the corner. It'll ask, would you like to schedule office hours with Michael? Say yes, they're free, and they really are just like office hours in college. Come in, ask the professor whatever you'd like, get your answers. I'll send you off with a recording. And then when I need to write my next playbook, I'll have my content already there.
Gotcha. All right, Michael, this has been great, man. And thanks for taking the time to explain all this and kind of get down in the weeds with me. So I think it's going to make a lot more sense to people. And definitely it's one of those things I think they should think about. So people want to contact you directly other than just going to the website. Is there any other places they can follow you on social?
Yeah, so you can. I'm most active on LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. And you can find me at GentofTech there, GentofTech. That's my handle anywhere I'm on social media, but LinkedIn is the place where I'm the easiest to get in touch with.
Cool. All right. So definitely check out that link, peeps. And Michael, it's been a blast. I really appreciate you and your time. You dropped some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. And I look forward to meeting you in person soon and talking again.
Yeah, Brian, it's been awesome.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.